Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a delight to see those who are physically present and to welcome those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. First, our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Kathleen and Ron McPhee and Peggy Bierke. Next Sunday, if you come over here, you'll find an empty church. That's because we are joining with our friends at Union Congregational at 11 o'clock for an old-fashioned hymn sing and ice cream social, and would love to have you join us. So you can sleep in a little bit, go out to breakfast, try to avoid the crowds here for Longmire days, and then come fellowship with Union Congregation at 11 o'clock, their usual worship time, for an old-fashioned hymn sing and ice cream social. And today I would also like for you to remember the family of Don and Gay Carlson, who were interred in our cemetery yesterday. Gay died in 2019, Don in 2020 in New Mexico. They were very active in this community while they were here. It was a very small family gathering, but please keep the Carlsons in your prayers. And thank you to Dean for providing us with the gift of wildflowers today. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil, number 512. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Christ, and wash.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is Isaiah 55, 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 65, 9 through 13 responsively. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, so you provide for the earth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. The second reading is Romans 8, 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He condemned sin to the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds in things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you are gardeners? I see a few hands. Well, you know how to plant a garden, right? You may want to test the soil to see whether it's alkaline, neutral, or acidic, because most plants like a neutral pH level. And alkaline soils are most common in the central and southwestern United States. Such soil restricts a plant's ability to take in nutrients, such as iron. And so to balance the pH level, you add a soil conditioner, such as sphagnum, peat moss, or organic compost. And you add in any missing nutrients, such as nitrogen. You remove the rocks that would prevent plants from growing properly. And you would aerate the hard-packed soil. I remember my dad used to make his own aerator by hammering long nails into a board. He'd put the board down on the ground and step on it to drive the nails into the soil, and he would repeat that across the whole lawn until the whole yard was aerated. And the whole point is to make the soil optimum for the growth of what is to be planted, to yield the best harvest, the showiest blooms, the hardiest plants. And you might want to put a fence up and maybe a bird net in order to keep animals out of the garden. And then you determine how close the plants should be and the depth to which they should be planted. And so anytime I think of gardening, I do think of my dad. He always had the best looking yard and the most prolific garden in the neighborhood. He'd been raised on a farm, and he loved to spend his time outdoors among his plants. I remember how he would plant the various crops that he raised in the garden. My dad would mark distances with a string and then carefully make holes the right distance apart and just the right depth. He would then drop a seed or two into each of those holes, depending on what he was planting. Then he would carefully cover the seeds with dirt, patting the dirt down carefully. When all were planted, he would gently water the newly planted seeds. After they had sprouted and grown a bit, he would thin them out. He would weed the garden regularly to prevent the weeds from taking over. He kept earthworms in a raised garden area, and he would use worm casings and compost and old coffee grounds to give the plants the nutrients they needed. He would check his tomatoes for hornworms, which he would pull off and drown in a can he kept just for that purpose. So those of you who garden, does that sound familiar to you? Do you take care preparing your garden and planting your seeds so that you can have the optimum harvest? I see heads nodding. Then our gospel lesson today might make you shake your head in dismay. The one sowing the seed seems to have made no preparations for the garden. He hasn't cleared out the rocks or tilled the soil or made any attempt to figure out the best place to plant the seeds. He just starts scattering them everywhere. He seems to be wasteful. I have some volunteers. They've been pre-chosen. We're going to retell this story a little bit. Now, as I said, the sower in our story doesn't just gently hand a seed to each person. He throws the seed. Throw it. There we go. He scatters the seed everywhere. And it doesn't say anything about someone coming along and making sure that it's all planted, but we have someone who's going to come along and make sure each one of you gets one of these. He just scatters the seed. Did you scatter it everywhere? And that's what our sower did. Thank you. He just threw it everywhere. I'm going to ask you to open up your piece of paper. Because in our story, really, all the seeds are the same. This just seemed the most efficient way. We've got a couple of people over here. Ann and Buck don't have seeds. And so as we tell the story, open up your paper and you'll see what kind of soil you are today. Okay, and I want you to either stand up or raise your hand when we get to you, okay? Paul needs one if you have one for him. Okay. So a sower went out to sow, and we saw him do that. He just threw them everywhere. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. Who's the path? All right. And the birds came and ate them up. Now, why did the birds come and eat up the seeds that were on the path? Because they're there. Because the soil is so hard compacted that seeds can't penetrate it. So they're just lying on the top, and the birds come and eat it. What might happen in your life that you are a hard-packed soil? Lots of things. You're busy. You're stubborn. You're tired. And you just, nothing in you will allow that seed to penetrate down. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. I have some rocks out there. All right. On rocky ground where they did not have much soil and they sprang up quickly. But then what happens to them? Because why? They have no roots. So can you imagine what might happen in your life that would do that? Where you spring up quickly, but you don't have enough foundation. Poor parenting. Okay. Lots of things can happen. And others fell among thorns. So some thorns here. We have thorns. And the thorns grow up and choke them. What might be thorns would choke out what you hear? Same sorts of things. Negative people, busyness. And then other seeds fell on good soil. Where's my good soil? Lots of good soil. And what makes the good soil? Sometimes it is preparation. Our story may not have said that there was preparation, but I'll bet that Jesus was thinking of soil that had been cared for and prepared to hear the word. And I'm hoping that's what we accomplish in this congregation. The story that Jesus tells is a parable with a meaning beyond the story itself. The parable is not telling us how to plant a garden or a field. If it were, it would be really bad information. Instead, it tells us what? It tells us how God abundantly spreads the message about the coming of the kingdom and about how we should too. In a portion of the gospel that's omitted from today's reading, the disciples ask Jesus why he speaks in parables. You might think that he would answer that parables make his message easier to understand, but that's not what he says at all. Instead, he states that he speaks in parables because there are self-righteous ones who have hardened their hearts to what he is saying. He asserts that these ones have fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with the eyes and listen with the ears and understand with the heart and turn, and I would heal them," he adds. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And then he provides private instruction to the disciples, explaining to them the meaning of the parable, that the seed represents a word of God, and the soil represents those who hear the word. When someone hears the word of God's kingdom and does not understand it, the devil comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, just as birds eat up seed scattered on the footpath. As for the seed sown on rocky ground, that represents those who hear the word and receive it with joy. And receiving the word with joy is a good thing. But for those hearers, the joy does not last. Because a person is not rooted in the word, when trouble or persecution comes, that person falls away. Without roots, a plant will wither and die. And as for the seed among the thorns, this person hears the word, but the cares of the world, the troubles that they encounter, the lure of wealth just chokes the seed, chokes out the word. Such people lose focus, turning their eyes away from God and becoming enticed by the things of the world that lead them away from the things of God, and they yield nothing. And now, as for what was sown on good soil, that represents those who hear the word and understand it, those who bear much fruit. And whatever kind of soil we are is constantly changing. Sometimes we hear God's word and just don't understand it, or understand how it is relevant to our lives or how to put it into practice. Sometimes a situation occurs that dampens our enthusiasm for following God's word. Sometimes the cares of the world choke out our good intentions. And sometimes we are open and eager to hear God's message of repentance and reconciliation, and our lives bear fruit. And you know what? God continues to sow the seed. It isn't a one-time thing. God continues to sow the seed. God has abundant seeds to spread, countless seeds, seeds beyond numbering, and many ways to spread those seeds. God knows that some will fall on good soil, where they will yield a great harvest, and God knows that some will not. The seed of God's word is spread on the heart, and it is not possible for us to know what is in another's heart. Sometimes the very hearts we think would be most receptive are not. And the ones we think would have no use for the word turn out to be the most fertile soil of all. Think of the many ways that you hear the word of God, both during and outside of worship. Think of the times when it has been hard for you to listen to God's word and to let it flourish in you. When there are so many rocks in your life that the word could not take root in you. When there were so many obstacles, not necessarily of your making, that kept you from bearing fruit. How many times was it hard for you to remove the rocks or pull out the thorns by yourself? When were the times you needed your family, your friends, and the church to help you remove those rocks and pull out those thorns? And look at the times when your heart has been good soil, when the word of God has taken root and borne fruit. We want to be good soil, to have the word of God grow and yield 100 or 60 or 30-fold. And when it does, how do we go about spreading our own seeds? Are we cautious about how we discuss God and our faith life? Do we test the soil first, approaching only those we think will be receptive to the message? Or do we follow the model of the sower, casting our seed without concern where it lands, knowing that some will not or cannot understand, that some will show enthusiasm that will die quickly, that others will lose their focus, and that some may have hearts that are good soil. We are trying to sow seed in the unpredictable soil of the human heart, which means we need to sow seed everywhere, scattering it generously and abundantly, helping as we can to remove rocks and thorns, and praying for the harvest. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, "For the Fruits of All Creation," number 697. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation.
Guide your church, O God, to sow seeds of forgiveness and righteousness on good soil. Direct your people to proclaim your love in the congregation and throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather, causing trees and fields to grow, protecting waterways from pollution, and instilling in all people the need to be good stewards. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Maintain peace among all people. O God, and raise up lawyers to work for justice in the courts, advocates to speak for the downtrodden, and politicians to work on behalf of the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Heal those who are sick, especially those on our prayer chain, and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Guide healthcare workers to care for those who suffer, scientists to conduct life-saving research, and counselors to care for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Answer the prayers of those gathered in worship, O God. Protect those who travel near and far, accompany visitors to this congregation, and nurture our faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Inspire us by the faithful departed, O God, examples of your embedded love, whose confidence in the resurrection guides us in living lives worthy of the gospel, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and offerings. Our duty and our Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future, we bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready, and all are invited. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our sending song, number 547, sent forth by God's blessing.